Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Peter Frampton Concert. For the enjoyment of all fans and concert attendees, the artist kindly requests that photos are taken during the first three songs only. From your seats and no flash, please. Thanks for your respect and cooperation. Enjoy tonight's show.
Am I wrong?
Thank you. had turned to stone. I'm sure there is a bill for that. You're on your own. Can't you see what it's doing me? All I wanna be is by your side. I don't care now that I've lost some hair. All I wanna be is by your side. I said, all I wanna be is by your side. I don't have thousands of watts of Marshall amplification and electric guitars, so it's a little scary, but we've done a few shows now, and I'm just loving this, and hope you like it too. Kind of like, it's as if, you know, you all came round to my house and sat outside the window, and I played you some songs when they were just written. That's the vibe. So, and there's going to be lots of stories and different guitars and lots of guitars, different tunings and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, talking about tunings, this tuning is a very strange one. It's there's only like three notes in the whole tuning. Just different octaves, and I was very lucky to be a dear friend of George Harrison's, and I managed to, he was a very nice person and very, very good to me. I just left a band called Humble Pie. They were zooming up the charts with the album that I was on, which I thought I'd made the worst decision of my life. So. But I got to play on some sessions that George produced for the then Apple label. It's funny how things change. And
he asked me to play on All Things Must Pass, which was the biggest solo album of any of the Beatles, I think. So it was to say it was a thrill is an understatement. We got to jam in studio, and it was a thrill. So went down to every Beatle had his own park. So George had just bought this place called Friar Park, and it's a huge mansion. He invited me down, stay the weekend, and the place was just being renovated. And of course, the only place that was renovated right away was the music room and the bedroom. So it was sort of like staying in a flat in a huge mansion. But so we were in the music room, and I went around and tried all these different guitars. And go, George, this is great. And playing all those guitars you've seen them play in those old videos and stuff in the Beatles. It was just a thrill.
Can I ask you a question?
So I found this one acoustic. And I said, wow, George, what is that tune? And he said, that's my tune, and don't you steal it. So I stole it, and I went home after the weekend and wrote this one. The sweetest fragrance, it brings a wind of change. It's now or then. Oh, love comes close, wrecking all I have to give. I started playing guitar when I was, I started on a banjolele, which is a banjo-shaped ukulele, when I was 7, and given to me by my grandmother, and picked it up pretty quick, and my dad taught me, hang down your head, Tom Dooley, and Michael Row the Boat. And I got those down and performed those at Christmas and birthdays for the family. But my I got the guitar when I was 8, and then my first ever performance of anything was at a, I joined the Cub Scouts, and I'm proud of that. And but all the guys that were already Cub Scouts all had all these badges up and down, sort of like tattoos of the day, you know? And I needed their proficiency badges for, you know, doing tests and things. So I thought, well, the easiest one for me to do is the music test. So firelighting one was very difficult. It's England, always rains, they only give you 2 matches. So I went for, I failed that one. but I did get the music proficiency badge, and I was very pleased with that. And I sang Peggy Sue, the Buddy Holly song. And that was my first song I ever sung in public. And flash forward to a couple of years ago, Mary Elena, Buddy Holly's widow, has started a foundation for those to raise money for kids that can't afford music lessons. So I thought this is a fantastic cause, and got involved. And her way of paying the people involved back is that she had a certain amount of guitars, recreations of Buddy's J45 Gibson, made and all named after one of his songs. So, my one is called Peggy Sue. So. I asked for Peggy Sue, and they said, oh, no, that's reserved for Paul McCartney. But he never picked up the phone, so I got it. Paul's been calling me, but I haven't been picking up his phone. So,
where's my guitar?
Tom, but just because you're Beatles, you can't get everything. So, one last thing about this guitar is that the first 20, because I believe there's 20 frets on these guitars, and she had the guitar was refretted at some point, his original one, and she saved all the frets. And inside each one of these guitars is stuck. I can barely see it, but you might be able to see it with the light. But it's one of them is stuck right in there, right at the inside of the guitar. It's such an honor to have, you know, a friend of Buddy's in there. And sometimes I stick my finger in my hole and I touch it. Because I can. This is an explicit show. So anyway, here it goes. What?
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you know how I feel. Good, oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, girl. I'ma love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue. Oh, how my heart yearns for you, oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, girl. Yes, I need you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue, pretty, 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 pretty Peggy Sue. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, when I love you again, I want you, Peggy Sue.
Stop, not even good.
Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue, pretty, 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 pretty Peggy Sue. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, girl. I want you, Peggy Sue. I love you, Peggy Sue, with a love so very true. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you again, and I want you, Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you again, and I want you, Peggy Sue.
Yes, Buddy Holly. Sort of all started with him for me and Eddie Cochran. And Elvis with Scotty Moore on guitar. What a great guitar player he is. And let's see what we got going on here. This one, we flash forwards to the Frampton's Camel record. And this one, I finished cutting all the tracks and the vocals and everything with Eddie Kramer, the engineer. That we were at Electric Ladyland Studios, Electric Lady Studios in Manhattan on West 8th Street. And fantastic studio, Hendrix's own place. And we were usually in Studio B, the little one around the back. And we finished all the tracks, and so I just felt that there was need for one more that I had to do. And so I called up, Eddie was gone, so I called up the assistant engineer. I said, let's go in just for one more night and one more day, and we'll cut one more track. So I had written the music and the melody, but no words, and so I thought, well, let's go in and see what comes, you know, what happens. So we started about 6 o'clock at night, and we got out at 8:30 in the morning, having breakfast, having finished the track, you know. So, but we cut the music first. I played guitar first, no drums, no click tracks, no nothing then, and put some bass on it and some piano, and then sat down for a couple of hours and wrote the words. And this is how it goes. Suddenly, with no warning, it was 4 in the morning. What the papers will say has been printed. I have no reason to want to change the season, 'cause it's just the time of year. It's just the time of year. Suddenly I'm yawning, maybe 'cause it's 5 in the morning.
sleepless nights I have wasted.
Another tuning, another day, another dollar. So let's see what we got here. Okay. Further forward, we come to the Frampton record, which was the one before the live thingy-wingy. So I was recording, we recorded that in a castle in England, Clerwell Castle, and then we mixed it at Olympic Studios Barnes in England, in London, just outside London. And that studio is where the Stones did most of their recording, unless they were in Sun Records in America. And Led Zeppelin was, one was done there, well, all of the Zeppelin stuff was done there. And let's see, Eagles, Humble Pie, obviously. So it was a phenomenal sounding room, and I have to say that I'm so thrilled to say that, because it closed down and now it's been reopened and made even better than before, because they reopened the room. And the engineer that worked with me on Wind of Change, Chris Kimsey, is now the person in charge of restoring it. So I know it's been done the correct way. And it's a historic studio. As historic as Abbey Road, but they didn't have a crosswalk across the confronted. Led Zeppelin never walked across the crosswalk. So we had mixed the album, the Frampton album, and Chris said this time, you know, do you have, you know, something else? One little, another piece we could put on here, running a little short. So I said, well, I've got this little bit, what do you think? very much indeed. I'm going to ask a very dear friend of mine to come out now, so we can both play the guitar together. And you know of his songs. We've been writing together for going on 16 years now. He's my writing partner, and he has written so many songs that you know. Bonnie Raitt, Eric Clapton, and many, many more. And he's a tremendous guitar player, a singer, and of course an amazing writer and producer. Produced Ricky Skaggs' last couple of albums. So please give my dearest friend a warm welcome, Mr. Gordon Kennedy. How are you doing, boy?
Very well, thanks.
Good. This is definitely the venue to be at when you reach the point in the tour where all the venues are starting to look alike.
Okay.
Absolutely. Even the elevator backstage is egg-shaped. It's kind of surreal. I didn't say cereal, did I? I want my eggs. So, yes, I'm sure you've heard them all before, but we are new to here. So we'd like to, at this point, do something that we need your help with, okay? So are you prepared to do some particular kind of singing on this one? Not all of you are sure about this. We have a... This is all acoustic. The only things that are electronic are what's amplifying it to get it to you. Even the radio is fake. So it's all done by smoke and mirrors. And computers. And so we need you to sing this with me. It's kind of humiliating, but I'll be there with you. Wah, 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 wah. I did tell you it's humiliating. Can we have a rehearsal? One, two, three, four. That's okay. Otherwise, we have to move on to the next song. But that was very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're good. So it happens a couple of times extra than on the record. So I will. I'll let you know when to come in. Okay. Here we go.
feel I'm going down. There's to be a fool to play this part. Did someone done a healing? It all I really want to know. Oh, won't you show me the way?
With a little bit of 1%. Okay, let's see what we got going on. Thank you.
I don't need that.
Something that I wrote in Long Island. So, what's that? That's right. Someone's been reading up on me. Thank you. I better tell the truth then. Can't lie now. They know everything. It's like Homeland, but the audience. So I lived in Cincinnati for a while, and quite a while actually, and I'm not going into why I moved there. It was a family thing. Now I'm going into why I moved there. I opened the door. Anyway, no, I moved there for family reasons, and so kids could be near grandparents, and while I was there, the Cincy Ballet asked permission to use a couple of my songs and a couple of ones we'd written together, Gordon and I, and do a pas de deux, which is to be a one-man, one-woman dance. And I didn't know that, but I do now. Then I went on tour or something, and they must have taken an in-house DVD of it and sent it to me. And after I came off tour, I saw it, and I showed it to Gordon. It just was jaw-dropping to see music that we'd written, all of a sudden these world-class ballet dancers going to town. You know, it was unbelievable. So I got in contact with them and told them how much I liked it, and they invited me to see some rehearsals for the upcoming production they were doing. And it just, you got dancers from all over the world, the best, you know, China, Russia, everywhere, India, and just phenomenal dancers. And they said, the head of the ballet said, would you be opposed to doing it in the evening of Frampton Music? I said, fine. So I thought they were going to use the CDs and play the music. I said, no. We want you and the band to play on stage behind the dancers. So I instantly thought, well, that's a good view. So she explained to me that there were three sections to a ballet, because they have to have time to rub their feet every few minutes, apparently. So there's three 20-minute pieces with like 10 minutes off in between. And so they said, just give us a list of all the songs you do live, or can do live, and we'll choose and we'll choreograph them into three sections. I said, well, that's good. I said, but how about we do the first section and the last section, act, as it were, act one and act three, the older numbers that people know, and then I'll write, 20, 25 minutes of brand new music. And they said, great, that would be fantastic. So I called Gordon and I said, help! And so we practiced pirouetting around the room a little bit. And we thought, well, what do you do for a ballet? And they'd already done, this one dance to four of the pieces prior. So we had a pretty good idea, but we realized there were no rules. We were making it up as we went along. So we wrote 28 minutes of music, which ended up being a CD called Hummingbird in a Box. And obviously hasn't reached this area yet. Just skip these ones. Let's just do Show Me the Way again. I refuse. I'm not doing the wah 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 again. It's really humiliating. You talked me into that too. Anyway, we wrote this music and we did perform it for three nights behind the ballet, and which went fantastically well. It was a great challenge, and then we went back to Nashville. I'd moved there by this time, and recorded the stuff. So the song we're going to do a couple from it, and the first one we're going to do is Hummingbird in the Box, and it came. The story came from. I would go, when I was about, I don't know, six, seven, I used to go around with my parents to my grandparents' house every Sunday, and we would have tea and play with the budgerigar. And so one day, my grandfather went out of the room. He came back in with this sort of solid block of wood, that's what it looked like to me, and put it down in front of me. He said, okay, Peter, I want you to see if you can open this. I said, okay, Granddad. And so I tried, I really did try to open this thing, but there was no seam, nothing. You couldn't see any way of opening it. So I said, okay, you open it. And so he gently slid the veneer up here and one down here and one at the bottom. All of a sudden, the thing opened. And at the very bottom was a drawer appeared in the bottom, and pulled the drawer out, and there was a hummingbird, dead. But stuffed dead. But I did realize that they're beautiful when they're dead too. And small. But that sort of spoils the beauty of the story, which I ruined for myself. What I didn't mean anything to me at the time, apart from the fact I couldn't wait to go back next Sunday and say, the box. I want to open the box, And ever since then, it's dawned on me, as you grab a little bit of wisdom along the way, that it's kind of a life lesson, in as much as we go along, we learn how to do things. And basically, if you make the right moves after making lots of mistakes, you will get to your goal, that you set for yourself. And so, I want to really thank my granddad for showing me that. So, and this one is, he brought it back from Asia, during the First World War. He was in both wars, and as a submariner. And So this one goes like this. It's Hummingbird in the Box. The one we have some vinyl out there on this album, but the doors are locked until you buy something, so it's no pressure at all.
It's easier to open too, you just tear the cellophane off.
There's a picture of the box on there, yeah? You get the whole story there. Okay. dead. It was dead. You were too late. I could have only learned quicker. Damn thing. All right, this one's called Heart to My Chest. Toes too. Yes, it does. And yeah, they called again. They might want ballet too. You never know, you love to
work on that.
Hey, no. Come on. I think I hung up on them. Let's wait for them to ring again. Oh, thank God they rang back. Hello? Yeah, no, I'm in the middle of a ship. Yeah, what? No. Oh, I see. No, this is the stage phone. You wanted the front of it. Uh-huh. No. No, this isn't Megadeth tonight. No. No. Blue Man Group is next week. That's correct. Yeah. We don't do requests. This is Peter Frampton here. Well, wah 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 to you too. No, we can. I gotta go. I don't know how you got through to the stage phone. But thank you. Bye bye.
The nerve of some people. I tell you. They wanted to know if we do a Beatles number.
Once had a girl, or should I say, she once had me. She showed me her love, isn't it good? No, we can go. She asked me to stay, and she told me to sit anywhere. So I looked around and I noticed there wasn't a chair. Till two, and then she said, it's time for bed. She told me she worked in the morning and started tonight. Told her I didn't, and caught up to sleep in the bed. And when I awoke, I was alone, this bird had flown. So I let her find, isn't it good? No, we can know. La, 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 la.
This guitar right here is a gut string guitar. Peter told me that he wanted to do a couple songs in this acoustic tour where he would use a gut string. And I thought, I should bring this guitar out. It's been sitting in a guitar closet at my home for going on 7 years, I guess now. It belonged to and was left to me by the late, great Jerry Reed.
Wow.
And this is one of his guitars. He gave me a couple of the guitars that he had just sitting around the house that he always, you know, his go-to. We would grab and play and ride and everything. So I didn't dare touch them for all these years. And then when Peter told me and he wanted to do that on this tour and use that kind of guitar. I thought, his hands are the only hands I'll ever let touch this thing. And so Jerry would be so proud to hear you play that guitar. Beautifully. So have at it, son.
What an honor to play this. Jerry was a big, huge. Every guitarist is a huge fan of Jerry. What a greasy player he was. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, this one is a song I had written during my stay with Humble Pie, but all of us were writing acoustic stuff, and there became a point where the acoustic stuff for the next album wasn't quite apropos. So we all liked doing acoustic stuff, but we want to do a heavier album. In fact, our first album, we were the first band to, they coined the phrase heavy metal for Humble Pie. So didn't feel that was apropos either. But we were later on. So we had all these, each one of us had all these acoustic songs that we'd written that we were saving. And then, so when I did my first solo record, I managed to bring this one out. I had written it, woken up at, you know, in the middle of the night, in an apartment flat in London, and everyone was sleeping, so I had to write something very quiet. And so this is more of a lullaby, and it goes like this. Thank you. another field is plowed. Sidewalk when my kids fell over off their bike, you know, half their skin came off. It's a lovely place though. Sunsets are like everyone's like a painting, and I do miss it for that. But anyway, we'd write, and there were two restaurants there in town. For breakfast, there was one called The Egg. And then for lunch, that closed at midday, and then for lunch, one opened at like 1 o'clock till 3, the Hearty Hen. Anyway, that's enough of that story.
So the egg did come first.
So anyway, this one, that has nothing to do with this one. This one I wrote for an album that I couldn't come up with the title for the album, so I called it Peter Frampton. That's an uninspired moment, I guess. But anyway, goes. Sorry. Sometimes I just crack myself up. And then it's hard to stop.
I'll be with you till the end. You take
This next one is the first one Gordon and I wrote for the album called Now, which was then. And we're going to do it now. I'm confusing myself. Yes, this one, when we wrote it, it was very powerful to us, especially when I'm singing it. And I got to play it to my parents, and they just loved it. It was one of their favorites that I've done. So they have passed on now, so its meaning is multiplied for me. So I would like to dedicate this song, their favorite, to Owen and Peggy Frampton. What do you do when you love? There's no tomorrow. You hold hands, you sing songs, you live life till you're gone and not forgotten. What do you do when you're sad? And heavy laden, you reach deep and beyond. You give love till you're gone, but not forgotten. Those who went before, why are they remembered? They held their hands, they sang us songs, and lived their lives till they were gone, but not forgotten. No. Find your light and turn it on, shine it down on everyone. Find your light and turn it on, shine it down on everyone. Find your light and shine it down on everyone. It is a humble pie number. This was on the Town and Country record, and it's one that I don't believe I've done played for. Well, I think last time I played it was on the radio. Bob and Tom, I think we did that, but never on stage since Humble Pie.
So it's it was one that we would bring, the band would bring songs to the studio, and we'd sit around and drink tea and play each other songs. And say, oh, that's good, we'll do that one, we'll do this one. And so I got, my day was this one day, and we were in Morgan Studios with the legendary Andy Johns, rest in peace, on as the engineer. And it was a phenomenal experience doing Town and Country. And so they said, I thought we were going to strap on electrics and play drums and do it electrically, but everyone said, no, it sounds so good on acoustic, why don't you just do it like that? We'll play tablas and congas and percussion. So that's how we did it. And it fades in as track one on Town and Country. It goes like this. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Oh, thank you, sir. What is that? Fun looking thing. So, yes, how about the opening act then? I booked them myself. And it's my pleasure to... It's my pleasure to bring back out my son, Julian Brenton. How you doing, Jody?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Dad?
I'm doing all right, son.
All right. You want to sing a song, then?
Yeah. Why are you so tall and I'm so short?
I told them to put the seat down, but they won't do it.
Genetics have some on the other side, right? So, yes, we wrote a song for the Thank You, Mr. Churchill record. You can lie and clap. And it just happened that, you know, at that time, that was really when, for a while now, mature artists like myself don't get played a lot on, you know, Z100. Hey, look at me. We don't get, so it's more like we go to well, we're on XM and on classic rock and stuff like that, which is great. But this song that we wrote just so happened that I turned the radio one day and there it is, and it's the one with Julian singing it. How do you think the lead track?
The one time they played it on the radio. He got it there, so that was good.
let's do it, shall we? Change the story, the truth, the reason never goes away. Take it easy.
sun. It's a hard one. Driving blind, I see my smoking gun.
Same album, Town and Country, Humble Pie came in the studio and we said we're going to take one of Buddy's songs and slow it down and play it electrically, and instead of just having the lead vocal, we're going to do it in harmony. So the three of us, that we all like this song, so we're going to try and recreate the Humble Pie version for you here tonight.
We're not going to try, we're going to do it. Thank you.
do you miss when my baby kisses me?
Once he did it, he got a little more comfortable with it. But I said, listen, always rest assured that, you know, don't be afraid to break it down to where, you know, the production is gets stripped away and all the pyros and all the stuff, you know, that, and the dancers, you know, get rid of your dancers. And don't be afraid to just sit there on stage where it just, it's down to just your talent. And there it is. It's like a dream gig for me to get to sit next to him to do his music, and then beyond that, to have a chance to do one of my songs and have him play on it, which is just over the top great. So that's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to do a song for you that, it probably, if it weren't for this song, I don't think he and I would have met, because a couple guys in Nashville, on the heels of me having this hit song with Clapton, they went to him and said, you know, told him my life story and tried to get him to write with me, you know, and took some little twist marks there to get him to come write with me. And then they came to me, and all they had to tell me was, is that, well, it's Peter Frampton. And so I was like, oh, of course, you know. So pinch marks here, twist marks there. We're going to do this song for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Album, I had 3 weeks to write it, and that was the way it was in those days. Off the tour, 3 weeks to write the album, and then into the studio 6 weeks, and then back on the road again, and that just went round like this. Wow. And you had to do 2 albums a year, and if you didn't do the second one in time, they would suspend you until you handed in the second one. So that time would go on the end of the contract. So they really screwed you. So they got theirs in the end. Steve Martin once said, I went to the Bahamas for a minute. So I decided to go for 3 weeks. And I went to Nassau, and Steve Merritt lent me his little cottage on the beach there. So it was an idyllic place to be alone and write. Well, the first 2 weeks, I couldn't write a thing. Everything sounded like, no. And I put it down to the fact that for those first 2 weeks, I was partying with Alvin Lee from 10 Years After. And dear friend, we miss him. And you're left. Okay, finally. And after 2 weeks, and I thought, well, I was scared. I thought, I've got a week to write these songs. So I picked up this guitar, this one here, which I bought this the day before the first Humble Pie rehearsal. And it's been with me ever since. Been through a flood, all sorts of things. Looks like shit, sounds wonderful. So I picked it up that day after I got up, had some raisin bran with just milk. It didn't say 2%, 1%, silk milk, almond milk. It didn't say any of that, just said milk. And it's all marketing. Anyway, picked up this guitar, and within a few minutes, it seems, probably about 45 minutes, I wrote Show Me the Way. So I thought, I felt pretty good about myself, because I thought, this is the beginning, they've all got to be, this is the turning point right here. I like this one, I had no idea it would be popular, obviously, at that time. And then I went out, had some, got some sun, lay on the beach, and then I came back in and had some lunch, and right before the sun was setting, I wrote, picked this guitar up again in the same day and wrote this song.
Across the page, Suddenly the day turns into night. Far away from the city, but don't hesitate. Hey, your love won't wait.
Trying to have that kind of day ever since. Okay. We're going to do some more of these shows. I didn't know until we started them, and then I just fell in love with doing this. It's just thank you. I'm about three quarters of the way through doing an acoustic album, just me acoustic and maybe an acoustic overdub solo by yours truly. And so there'll be some of these numbers that we're doing, some other ones that we'll probably do on other acoustic tours, maybe one new one or something like that. So when recording and choosing what to do, this one was at the bottom of the list, this one. Reason being that I just thought that maybe it wasn't doable without the full band. And so I thought, on my own, and the engineer wasn't there, and I manned the controls and everything, and I started doing it myself, recording it, and I started smiling because it started to really work. So I played it to Gordon, and he agreed, and thank goodness. And so we'd like to try this one for you now, and we'll see how we do, right? Yeah! I love those, don't you? Out of nowhere. But I appreciate the... that's the word, yeah, thank you. I'm old. And a senior moment there. A one, two, a one, two, three, up. Yeah.
and see what the final sign is.
Two numbers together. One I wrote in 1980, then one, the other one we wrote. It was the second song we'd written for an album, a film called Almost Famous. And Stillwater, the fictitious band, get to play this in their concert scene. So there's a little snippet in that in the movie. So we put them together. All right, one, two, one. Thank you.
I'm in you.
I'm